This is KFIZ Radio and First Presbyterian Church, located at 1225 4th Street here in Fond du Lac. Thank you for joining us this morning in prayer and devotion.
Please stand as you are able and join me in the responsive call to worship. When Jesus was in the wilderness, he was tempted to save himself. We often look for the good things for ourselves first, before the well-being of others. Jesus was offered salvation if he turned stones to bread, if he accepted wealth and power, if he tested God's commitment to him. In all these things, Jesus remained strong in his commitment to God. May our commitment be as strong. May our lives be placed in God's caring hands throughout our journey. Amen. O Lord, you led your people through the wilderness and brought them to the promised land. Guide us now so that, following your Son, we may walk safely through the wilderness of this world toward the life you alone can give. Lord Jesus, as you resisted the temptations in the wilderness, help us to place our trust in you, that we may be strong in our faith and confident in our identity as children of God, a royal priesthood, members of your household of ministry. Amen. The psalm reading from Psalm 91, 1 through 2, 9 through 16 from the Common English Bible, page 548 in the Pew Bible. Please join me as we read responsively selected verses from Psalm 91. Living in the Most High's shelter, camping in the Almighty's shade, I say to the Lord, you are my refuge, my stronghold. You are my God, the one I trust. Because you've made the Lord my refuge, the Most High, your place of residence, no evil will happen to you. No disease will come close to your tent. Because he will order his messengers to help you, to protect you wherever you go. They will carry you with their own hands so you don't bruise your foot on a stone. You'll march on top of lions and vipers. You'll trample young lions and serpents underfoot. God says, because you are devoted to me, I'll rescue you. I'll protect you because you know my name. Whenever you cry out to me, I'll answer. I'll be with you in troubling times. I'll save you and glorify you. I'll fill you full of old age. I'll show you my son.
Today's gospel reading is from Luke's gospel, the fourth chapter, the first 13 verses. Jesus returned from the Jordan River full of the Holy Spirit and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. There he was tempted for 40 days by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and afterward Jesus was starving. The devil said to him, since you are God's Son, command this stone to become a loaf of bread. Jesus replied, it is written, people won't live only by bread. Next, the devil led him to a high place and showed him in a single instant, all the kingdoms of the world. The devil said, I will give you this whole domain and the glory of all these kingdoms. It has been entrusted to me, and I can give it to anyone I want. Therefore, if you will worship me, it will all be yours. Jesus answered, it's written, you will worship the Lord your God and serve only him. The devil brought him into Jerusalem and stood him at the highest point of the temple. He said to him, since you are God's Son, throw yourself down from here, for it's written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and they will take you up in their hands so that you won't hit your foot on a stone." Jesus answered, "It's been said, 'Don't test the Lord your God.'" After finishing every temptation, the devil departed from him until the next opportunity. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Almighty God, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of all our hearts, be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. As we all came together this morning, did anyone really stop and think along the lines of what Jennifer had in her children's moments about your vehicle? If my vehicle will start, if my vehicle will stop, if my vehicle will protect me if I'm in an accident? Or did you get in with the assumption of, since my vehicle will start, since my vehicle will protect me? What about walking into this sanctuary? Did you pause at the doors? I hope you didn't, but did you pause and look up and say, if these great big beams will protect us and hold up the roof? Or do you walk in with that assumption and you trust it, since these will? We go through these things because we know that there's been a lot of tests done to prove that our car is designed to protect us in an accident, that these giant laminate beams have been tested, and that they will support not only the roof, but weight of snow and ice that's on top of it. We trust them. We don't really think twice about them. Now, if we're in the midst of an accident, if we know someone that's been in a situation where there was structural fatigue or something happened, we may question it a little more. So in our own lives, there are times that we question our faith because things have happened in our faith life. But more times than not, we are to truly trust God, to know that we are God's children. Because of that, God loves us, God protects us. And that even when everything seems to be unraveling and falling apart around us, God is with us and there is a purpose. Many of us trust too much in the things of this world, and we need to relearn to trust God. And part of that is how we live out our life. In verse 2 of today's reading, we read that Jesus was tempted for 40 days by the devil. Now, as Jennifer mentioned, there are different translations, different ways of translating the original Greek that this was written in. If or since makes a huge difference. Here, tempted or tested. It's the same Greek word. It can be translated either way, depending on the context. And when it's depending on the context, there it's up to the translator's decision. Now, we could spend all sorts of time debating all the semantics between tempting and testing. Is tempting enticing somebody to do something wrong, and testing is encouraging somebody to do something right? You know this is right, we're going to test you. You know all the information for this exam, you're going to be tested. And maybe in the midst of a test, a professor decides to add in a temptation, to lead you down a rabbit trail, especially with those story problems. Some people despise story problems because there's so many little temptations, extra information that really shouldn't matter, and it doesn't. That's, in a sense, the core of this message today, the core of this passage. Temptation is about accomplishing something beyond its intended purpose, leading us astray. And I think testing is accomplishing that intended purpose. Here's what the purpose is. Can you fulfill that purpose? Jesus was sent out into the wilderness, a barren place, a place more or less away from God, alone. But he was sent full of the Holy Spirit. He had been prepared for this, but he was tempted. He was tempted to see his purpose, his identity, as something different. Jesus did not give in. Now, if you're like me, sometimes we give in to some of these other temptations. I know in the years, you know, and I'd be twisting wrenches as a mechanic, or even just for fun. Now, I can use a ratchet and a socket to loosen a bolt. That's fulfilling its intended purpose. Sometimes I'm also tempted to use it as a hammer, use it as a pry bar. And sometimes it works, but yeah, it might damage it as well. And then it may not work as well for its intended purpose. That's what we need to be asking ourselves. What is our purpose? What is our identity? We learn that through Jesus' example, as he was questioned, he was tempted about his purpose, his identity. In verses 3 and 9, we're told that the devil says, "Since you are God's son." Since you are God's son. And then he goes on and takes those qualities of being God's son and tries to get Jesus to use them for a different purpose. Jesus had to stop and think, what does it mean to be the Son of God? What is my purpose? What is my identity? The devil knew that Jesus, he was present. He was actively participating in the creation of everything. So in part, he knows that Jesus has the power to do anything. He can move mountains. He can change stones into bread. And he says, "Oh, you are hungry. You haven't eaten. You're starving. Jesus, since you are the Son of God, turn this stone into bread. Why sit there and suffer? Nobody's going to know." Jesus knew his intention. He knew his purpose, his identity was not about physical nourishment. It was about spiritual nourishment. He knew that his purpose was about staying alive, but it was staying alive to provide a new and abundant life for all humanity by being the bread of life through his death on the cross. He knew he couldn't give in. The third temptation, today's passage, is similar. Basically, the devil's saying, "Jesus, you know, your dad's not going to let you get hurt. Scripture says you're going to be protected. Nothing's going to happen to you. Show everybody who you are." Jesus knew the purpose of his father's protection wasn't something to be used carelessly. It wasn't about bragging rights. And Jesus wasn't going to take advantage of his identity as the Son of God for his own personal gain, because he knew that would work against his ultimate purpose. Now, that middle temptation in our passage today maybe is a little bit different. I think it's still kind of assumed, since you are the Son of God, but it doesn't say that. The devil tempts Jesus to worship him, the devil, rather than his Father, God. Jesus knew that all human beings, even the Son of God, We're all commanded to worship God and God alone. And additionally, the focus isn't solely on the purpose of Jesus, but the premise of this is rooted in a lie about the devil's purpose. When we take a look at verse 6, it's often translated as saying, "All authority over every kingdom has been given to me. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. I can do with it what I want to." Technically, that is a correct translation, but the Common English Bible gives a hint, a nod to the whole of the narrative of Scripture, from creation to redemption. All the kingdoms have been entrusted to me. Entrusted. While they're given over to the devil, the kingdoms of this world, it's for a time. It's only temporary. Jesus doesn't get sucked into focusing on just the temporary, worldly view of life. He knows there's a greater issue at hand. He doesn't even debate it with the devil. Remember the Ten Commandments? First commandment, you shall have no other gods beside me. The second commandment, don't make any idols. Don't worship other idols. Worship God and God alone. We don't have any idols, do we? We know that we're created to worship God. We're created in the image of God to worship God. To be created in the image of God isn't a physical, visual representation. It means we're a representation or reflection of God's qualities, God's attributes. God is three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit is how we word it, all interconnected, serving each other together in unity as one being. That's how we're created. That's part of what it means to worship. It means we're to bow down, to put the object of worship ahead of ourself in an act of service. That is a snippet into worship. Jesus knew what that intention was of him being the Son of God. He knew his identity, he knew his purpose, and he stuck to it. He didn't get distracted by these deceptions that were tempting. They were plausible. They made a little bit of sense, and they probably sounded good, especially in that moment. But he resisted. He was without sin. What is our purpose? What is our individual purpose in life? What's our combined purpose in life? What is your identity, my identity, our corporate identity? Those are questions we need to really wrestle with. We say, oh yeah, I'm a Christian. I'm Presbyterian, part of First Presbyterian, Fond du Lac. But what does that really mean? Sometimes we break it down even further. Oh, I'm an elder there. I'm a deacon there. I'm a member there. Oh, I'm a worshiper there. I'm an employee there. We have all these different connections and these ways that we grasp a hold of an identity. But yet, what does it really mean? And what portions of that are good and what portions of that maybe lead us astray from truly being children of God, being a household of ministry, representing Christ? Our individual purpose and identity needs to be based on Jesus Christ. We need to be more and more like Christ. We'll never achieve it perfectly, but we need to strive towards that. And our communal purpose, our communal identity needs to be fashioned around a Trinitarian understanding of our faith. That has been weak in the modern church's teaching. Our identity has been shifted off into so many other avenues. It's our identity as a small pastor-sized church? Is it a large mega church? Are we seeker church? Are we contemporary church, traditional church? Are we on and on? Where in the midst of that do we wrestle with the understanding of being Trinitarian in our identity? As individuals, we struggle with what our identity truly is. If we don't know what our God-given identity is, again, in our own lives, we're tempted to stray, to follow what sounds good and plausible. If your identity is primarily about your job, your financial status, the things that you have, your home, your car, latest technology, your strength, if your identity is based on membership in a particular group, your participation or allegiance to a particular sports team, anything else like this, if it's not about primarily being a child of God, then in a sense we've created an idol and we're not worshiping God. We've broken the first two commandments. Now, hear me when I say this, that these are all good things to be associated with, to be a part of, to live out. But if those are primary, it's an idol. If those remain secondary, and they're a means in which we direct worship and our primary service to God, and in a way that being secondary in our life, they give a testimony to others that we are children of God, first and foremost, then that is very useful, very helpful. But it's so easy for us to forget about being a child of God. The next time someone asks you, "Who are you?" or "What do you do?" maybe you're going to answer, "Well, I'm a bus driver, I'm an engineer, I'm a teacher." But hopefully you think about it as, I'm a child of God. Maybe we can find a way to be able to start out with that, even if it's just by, you know, blaming the pastor and say, well, our pastor says, you know, I need to remind myself I'm first and foremost a child of God, but I'm a nurse, I'm a doctor, I'm a lawyer. You're a child of God and a lawyer? Yes, that can happen. Be interesting what conversations came about from some of those comments and responses. Jesus knew his identity. He didn't get drawn into believing some other identity. What is your identity? What is our combined identity? That's our first building block, identity. It's our starting point for this year's Lenten journey. We need to get back to the basics, to refocus on our God-given identity as expressed throughout Scripture. We need to repent of the identities that we've been deceived into adopting and worshiping. We need to take those masks off. We need to focus on what it means to be created in the image of God, to be the image of God for a world that so desperately needs to know what it means to be a child of God. I pray that you're going to join me on this Lenten journey, joining on Wednesdays either here at noon on Zoom in person or Wednesday evenings over at Just Love Cafe inside Bob's Pizza at 6:30, as we learn to discern what it means to be God's people, living out God's kingdom here on earth, God's kingdom here in Fond du Lac, to be living out God's kingdom as Presbyterians, what it means to be living and worshiping 24/7, as God intends us, based on our identity, created in the image of God. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us in this time of prayer and devotion. We are First Presbyterian Church in Fond du Lac. We are Christians serving, learning, and loving. You can find us on the web at www.fdlpresbyterian.org. We are located at 1225 4th Street and have in-person worship on Sundays at 9.